Today, we're going to conclude this series on the pursuit of happiness. Has anybody received anything through this series? Isn't God spoke to you? All three of you. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else today? God spoke to you during the series? Yeah, okay. I tell you what, it's been a unique series. As many series, many times God will give me the first couple of messages, and I don't know how long, obviously, it's going to go, but it seems like this series is very uniquely come together as God has painted this picture to us that He is restoring our happiness, restoring our joy. The more we're understanding who He is, the more we're able to experience and saturate ourselves in the joy of the Lord. And the more the joy of the Lord we have, the more strength that we have of the Lord, because Scripture teaches us that the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? Today I want to talk to you as we conclude this series on embracing the nature of God. Embracing the nature of God. See, we've been talking that it's so important. The more we have knowledge and understand the depth of God's nature, the more I can receive of His nature, the more I can receive of His joy, the more I can receive of His peace. But if you don't understand God's nature, it's going to limit how much you can really understand Him, how much you can really experience Him. So we're praying that God would take off the blinders, take us out of the box that we put Him in, and we seek the depth of the beauty of who God is so we can embrace His true nature. You know, Moses had a unique experience with God. You remember that God had called Moses to call His people out of bondage, to out of Pharaoh, to leave Egypt and head into the Promised Land. And as they're going there, God is getting very upset because here He has delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh. He's taking them to the Promised Land and leading them. But, you know, you can take the Israelite out of Egypt, but sometimes you have a hard time getting them to leave the habits. So that's what's happening here. They know God's leading them. God's taking them to a new place. But what's happening now is God's like, Moses, I'm really tired of those stiff, He called them stiff-necked people. Matter of fact, God was so upset, He said, I'm afraid if I go with you that I'm going to hurt somebody. That's what He said. He's like, it's better I don't go with you, because if I go with you, somebody's going to be hurt. And what was happening here is, even though God was leading them into a new direction, they were still going back, and they were raised, even though they were raised and their fathers and their grandmothers and their grandfathers, they had taught them that God is our God. They were raised under Pharaoh's court, and in there they had many gods. Gods of idols, gods of the Nile. They built gods of Baal. And so they were used to worshiping. So anytime that they needed a religious kick or needed something, they would run to that idol as their go-to. And so even though God's trying to take them away from idol worship and get them into a personal relationship where they can be out there following God, trusting God, it's not happening. So God gets upset. Moses, I'm just going to send the angel with you. You follow the angel, He's going to lead you to the way, because I'm afraid if I go with you, somebody's going to get hurt. And so Moses tells the people, and all of a sudden they get scared. Well, God's mad at us. Oh, God's mad at us. We can't go without God. You know, and so they all begin to pray, and they set up this prayer meeting. They pray to, you know, what do we do next? And then Moses hears, and all right, I'm going to go talk to God. And he goes to talk to God and says, God, man, there's something up here I need to talk to you about. So let's pick up this conversation Moses is having with God. Exodus 33, verses 12 through 18. One day Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the Promised Land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, though, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. This is so true, isn't it? God knows you. He knows you by name, and He looks favorably upon you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. I mean, God wants you to enjoy His favor. Let me tell you again. God wants you to enjoy His favor. He wants you to understand His nature so that you can walk with His presence and walk in this favor. He says, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you the rest. Everything will be fine for you. Look at the rest of this. Then Moses said, if you don't go with us personally, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look with favor on me on me and on your people if you don't go with us. Look what Moses says. For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the other people on the earth. Then the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you and I know you by name. And then Moses responded, and show me your glorious presence. Now, we see something happening here that's very evident, that God wants to go with his people. Let me say, you serve a God who wants to go with his people. How many times have you heard someone say, that statue of Buddha really wants to go with me to work today? We don't hear that. God is the only one who promises a personal relationship, that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that he would be there with you. That if you knock, it will be open. Seek, and you will find. Ask, and it will be given. Talk, and I will listen. God is saying this, that he wants to be with us at all times. And he wants to be with us at all times. Why? Because if he is with us, his presence is with us. And when his presence is there, the favor of the Lord follows. You see, some of you want to walk in favor. He says, when you walk in the presence of God, when people will know, you're set apart. There's something that happens. When you walk with the presence of God in your life, that people look and say, there's something different about that person. There's something different about them. The presence of God is setting them apart. They stand out from the group. They stand out in their class. They stand out in their classmates. They stand out in the workplace. They stand out at the university. They stand out. Why? It's the presence of God. And when you take the presence of God with you, you take the favor of God with you. Listen, God wants you to experience his favor in another whole level, another level of favor he wants to give you and I, but we got to let his presence go with us. Let me say this to you in a different way. God wants you to take his presence to work. He wants you to take his presence to school. He wants you to take his presence on your team. He wants you to take your presence at the store. He wants you to take his presence in the family. Why? Because he wants to be with you and he wants to show you his favor. Now, we see something here that's very cool. See, when you take the presence of God with you, you also take his favor. How many want the favor of the Lord? Raise your hand and say, I want God's favor. Just stop leaving God at church on Sunday and take him with you on Monday. Stop leaving him in the car just because you heard a great song on the radio. I felt God's presence and I shut the door and I don't think about God anymore the rest of the day. No, it's learning that throughout my day, throughout my week, that God is wanting to go with me. He wants his presence to go with me. And when his presence goes with me, I will be stand apart. I will be set apart. His favor will give me upon me. His favor will be upon me. Why? Because I'm bringing his presence with me. It just happens. It happens. When you bring the presence of God with you, the favor of the Lord will follow you as well. He wants to. He wants to give you his presence. He wants to give you his favor. Now let's pick up the story now. Exodus 34, verses 5 and 7. Then the Lord came down in the cloud, stood there with Moses, and he called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord. The God of what? Compassion and mercy. Let's say it again. The God of compassion and mercy. One more time. The God of compassion and mercy. This is who God is. He's trying to tell us something. He's trying to show us something. He goes, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. He goes, I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive the iniquities, the rebellion, and the sin. So God's showing this part of his nature. God's saying that I am a God of compassion, mercy, grace, love, goodness. This is who I am. But mark your word, God is also full of justice as well. Scripture says he is a just God. And he shows it right here. But also, he goes, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and their grandchildren, and the entire family is affected. Now some of you right now are thinking, my kids and grandkids are doomed because I've been a big heathen. Some of you are thinking, my kids have no chance because, man, I've blown it so much. But listen, what God is trying to show you here is something we got to grasp. But what he's really trying to say is this. I am full of goodness, compassion, mercy, grace. But I'm also a God who demands justice. Okay? But the good news is this. Look at Romans has to say about this justice. The Romans says this, that so now there is what? No condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. If you belong to Jesus, there is no condemnation. If you're feeling condemned, that's not coming from God. God doesn't bring condemnation on you. He may bring conviction on you and say, I want you to change some things in your life, but he's not there to bring condemn you. He's there to bring love, compassion, grace, and mercy, restoring your life. Satan will bring condemnation because if he can get you feeling condemned, then you say, well, God doesn't love me. If God doesn't love me, then I'm not going to experience his favor. I'm not going to experience his presence. I'm not going to walk with him this week. And he's got you exactly where he wants you, ineffective. But see, God wants you to realize this, that there is no condemnation for those who will belong to Jesus Christ. And because you belong to him, the power of what? The power of the life-giving spirit has freed you. Come on, say it. He has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. What you got to realize is this, that justice is demanded of God because he is a just God. But justice has already been served. God gave justice to his son Jesus when Jesus took the weight of the sin upon the cross. And he stretched out his arms on the cross. Justice was served at the cross of Calvary. So that all who believe in the power of the cross and the power of what Jesus did at the cross, that we can say justice has been served. Now we can experience the goodness, the compassion, and the mercy side of God because justice has already been served to his son. How many think that's a pretty big deal? And that's a pretty good deal. See, when you understand God's nature is this, yes, he's a just God, but he's already given out justice to his son. So now what he wants to do to you and I, he wants to give us the goodness, the mercy, the compassion, his presence, his favor. He wants to give to you and I and teach you and I how to walk in that. And when you start saying, well, I can't do that because, man, I remember all the stupid stuff I've done in my past. No, no, no. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus because Jesus has already taken justice on the cross for you and I. So I understand his nature. My eyes are unlocked to the nature of God, and it takes me into a deeper level of understanding of who God is. And when I understand that, boy, I can begin to experience him in a whole another level. And so we see this happening here. That God wants us to take him with him. We see, the more we understand God's nature, the easier it is for us to walk with him. If I walk with a God I think is always mad at me, then I can't walk with much of a God like that. I don't want to talk to someone who's mad at me. When my wife's mad at me, man, I don't want to fellowship with that. Come on. Any husband say amen? Any wife say amen? Yeah, that's right. It works both ways. Boy, there's not much fellowship happening when somebody's mad at the other one, right? Okay, let's don't go into that, but you know where I'm going with that, okay? No intimacies happen when you're mad, okay? But when you realize this, that, wow, he's not mad at me. He's not condemning me. Justice has already been served. So now he wants me to experience his compassion, his grace, his mercy, his goodness, and his favor in my life. He wants me to walk in his presence. Wow. That's crazy. And I realize that God wants me to take it with me everywhere. It takes me to another level. And so today I want to talk about King David. And King David was a man, the Bible says, was after God's own heart. It describes King David as a man after God's own heart. We can learn a lot from King David. But one of the things we learned, first of all, from King David was, the reason why I really like King David is this. Scripture says that, man, King David, even though he was a powerful man, a wise king, mighty warrior, hand of God was upon him, he also had some times when he just really blew it in big ways. Remember when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba? And then to make things worse, she's impregnated now with his child. And then he takes her husband, who's working in his army, and sends him to work on the front lines, knowing that there's a high chance that he's going to be killed on the front lines so that she would be a widow and he can bring her in and cover up his sin. So all this happens there, but yet God says David's a man after his own heart. So when I read that, I think, boy, there's hope for you and I. that we can be a person, a people after God's own heart. And you know what? We got to quit walking around in condemnation and realize, no, God really, really likes me. And God really wants to be with me. And God really wants to show me his presence, lead me, and bring me into a place of favor with the Lord. And David understood this, and I believe we can pick up some principles today, and I want you to see how David embraced the nature of God. I think we can learn from it today. Number one, let me give you three keys to embracing God's nature, something we see in David's life. Number one, the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord, not us. Some of you think the battle belongs to you, but it doesn't. It belongs to the Lord. And the quicker we understand this, the quicker it can lead us into a new place, a new level with God. Because we want to fight all of our battles ourselves, but as a Christian, I realized, no, the battle's not mine. The battle belongs to God. So in the story, as we set up the next scripture, we realize David, as a young boy, remember Samuel was told by God to go out and anoint the next king of Israel, that the hand of God was leaving Saul, King Saul, and God was going to raise up another king. He said, go to the house of Jesse. And Jesse goes there, and he pulls out all of his sons, and he goes through them one by one, the best-looking one, the tallest one, the oldest one, and goes through them all. And finally, none of these guys are it. Jesse goes, well, there's still David, little David, out in the back, taking care of the sheep. Send for him. Bring him in. And David comes, and God says, yeah, this is the one. And then we see where, you know, Samuel anoints David head with oil. Now, realize, when they anointed his head with oil, it wasn't like, you know, a little bit of drop on the forehead like we do, and God bless you, you're okay. I mean, when they anointed someone's head in oil this day, it was saturation. They took buckets of oil and poured it over him. His hair would have been greasy for weeks, I'm telling you right now. And it was a fragrance oil, so you could have smelled him like, man, he was anointed with oil. It was very obvious he had been anointed with oil. And so he's anointed the next king of Israel, and then he leaves, he goes back out, starts taking care of the sheep. Again, for his dad, remember now the Philistines have arisen in the valley, challenging the people of Israel. We want to come and fight us, fight Goliath. You know, we're going to take you guys captive. Whoever wins serves the other one. Goliath's out there going at it, the giant. Everybody's scared. Jesse takes David. Hey, take these cheese and crackers down to the battlefield. Find out what's going on with your brothers and bring me back a report. So David goes down there, and he sees all these guys. He sees all these things happening. Goliath shouting out. Everybody's scared. The king's scared. Everybody's scared. Nobody wants to fight. So finally, David has a response. I'll fight. Let's pick it up now. 1 Samuel 17:45. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. See, David knew something. He didn't fight his own name. He didn't fight in his own name. He belonged to the Lord. He says, I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied today. Now, come on, guys. You cannot read this chapter without thinking, today. This is Walking Dead stuff right here. Well, well, well. Today. Today, the Lord will conquer you. I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and a spear. This is the Lord's battle. You see, David knew this is the Lord's battle. This isn't David's battle. This isn't Israel's battle. This is the Lord's battle. See, when he was going to fight, he knew that he was going, this is God's battle. And he said, and he will give you to us. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him, reaching into his shepherd's bag, taking out the stone. He hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine square in the forehead. The stone sank in. Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. Now, we see something happening here that we realize that David knew the battle was God's. David understood God's nature. He said the battle belongs to the Lord. See, David knew something. He just got to show up because the battle belongs to God. David knew he just had to show up because the battle belongs to God. Now look at this statement. See, many times we're praying about stuff. And there's nothing wrong with praying. I believe in the power of prayer. But sometimes we need to stop praying for God to remove the battle and just show up to the battle knowing God's got this. See, God was just looking for somebody to stand up and show up to the battle and let him do his work. But everybody else, including the king, they're all hiding. They're all living in fear. And David just simply did this. I have faith that this is God's battle. If I show up, God's going to defeat you. Could it be that sometimes God's just waiting for us to show up? Could it be that sometimes God's just waiting for us to show up, stand our ground, and say, God, this is your battle. Enemy, I'm not scared of you. This battle belongs to God. Stop waiting for God to remove the battle. Stand up in the battle sometimes and say, God, this is your battle. God, you're going to fight through this. God, you're going to take care through this. God, when your presence is with me, no one can be against me. And those who are against me, they will be scattered in the name of the Lord. They will fall to the name of the Lord. Nothing will overtake me that my God will not sustain me and bring me through. And so knowing this, it changes the way we perceive God's nature. Number two, we understand, David understood this, the timing is the Lord's. See, David understood something about God's nature, that God's timing is everything. God's timing is everything. Does it ever seem like God just shows up at the very last possible minute to what you need? How many can say, boy, it seems like that's worked out in my life? I mean, at the very last possible second, God shows up and comes through. And you're like, about time. Why'd you make me wait so long, God? Man, I tried everything I could do and nothing worked. And finally, God answers my prayer at the very last possible second. But his ways are not our ways. And could it be, just could it be that God's waiting for us to get out of the way and let him do what he wants to do? Could it be that God's just waiting for us to stand up in the battle and say, God, whether you lead me to victory, I'm okay, or whether you take me down a different path, I'm okay. Either way, I'm going to be okay and my trust is in you, my faith is in you. See, could it be God's trying to prepare you to stand up to your Goliath now so you can face what's ahead of you in your next season? See, I come from a different generation, and I know that this isn't always kosher in this generation, so I'm just telling you, how many can remember a time when your dad would make you stand up to the big bully? Anybody remember that time? Okay, you're encouraged to stand up now. You got to be careful what you stand up to. But there was a time when dad would make you stand up to the bully because he's like, if you don't stand up, you're going to face it every day at school. You're going to face it every day in the neighborhood. At some point, you got to stand up to the bully. No matter what the outcome, just stand up. And what I didn't realize that many times dad was right there watching around the corner. Just in case. Just in case. But he was trying to teach me to stand up for myself. And I believe sometimes God's like right there. He's like, all I want you to do is stand up. All I want you to do is stand up to the bully. All I want you to do is stand up knowing that I've got this. That the battle belongs to the Lord. Just show up to the battle. Say, God, I'm just going to walk in faith. God, you've got this. God, you've got this. And so God is looking for you and I to show up to allow him to say, God, this is your timing, not my timing. See, timing belongs to the Lord. God likes to wait, and his timing is not our timing. I love the story in 1 Samuel 20, 41. We see now where David is running from King Saul. King Saul is jealous now, knows the favor of God's upon David after he kills Goliath. And, you know, things are happening now. He's running for his life. And David and Saul's son, Jonathan, become very good friends during this process. And we see this process where Jonathan and David become very, very close friends. And when they're meeting, I love the attitude here that David shows. And as soon as the boy was gone, David came from out from where he had been hiding near the stone pile. Then David bowed three times. This is significant. David bows three times to Jonathan with his face to the ground. Both of them were in tears as they embraced each other and said their goodbyes, especially David. Now, what's important to realize is this, that David bowing three times was significant because that's the way you address royalty. That's the way you address the king and the future king. But time out. Samuel had already anointed David the next king of Israel. But the problem was this, that Jonathan was the bloodline. He was next in line to be on the throne. he was next in line to succeed his father. And David could have very easily said, listen, Jonathan, hey, you know God's favor is on me. God's already anointed me. You might as well come on in now and serve me. Come on, and I'll bring you in. I'll protect you. You come in and serve. You bow to me now, and I'll take it easy on you when I'm king. But he didn't do that. He came in, and he bowed to Jonathan. Why? Because he realized God's timing is not my timing. And God, until you move, I'm going to honor the next king. I'm going to honor the next person in the king, and God, until you do it. See, there was a mark of maturity there where David knew that he had to honor the next king, even though he was going to be the next king. He honored God's timing because it wasn't his time yet. And until God moved in that place, David was going to act as the person he needed to act. You see, many times in our life, we get ahead of God. We try to move things in God's timing. See, be patient. Look at this. Be patient. You don't have to knock down doors that are in his timing. Let me say it again. Be patient. You don't have to knock down doors that are in God's timing. God's got a time period, and God's got a time plan. And if he's called you to something, he's going to lead you to it. He's not going to let it be out of there forever. He is bringing it into your timing. But don't feel like you got to knock down the doors when it's in his timing. Be patient. See, God has a way. Look at this. God has a way of accelerating promotion when it's your time or your season. I mean, look through Scripture. We see this principle all throughout Scripture. People who thought they had a plan, people who thought they had a call. You can ask David. How does David go from the shepherd boy to the palace? Could it just be that God had him defeat Goliath in front of all the children of Israel for him to be elevated as a leader? Could that have been God's plan to start that process? That he defeats Goliath in front of all those men so they begin to look to him as the next leader. See, he didn't wake up that morning taking care of his dad's sheep thinking, boy, I'm getting ready to walk into the authority of God's kingdom. I'm going to walk into the thing, this authority thing. I'm going to beat Goliath today. Everybody's going to worship me today as the next king. He didn't see that coming. He's just getting up, being faithful, taking care of dad's sheep. Ask old Joseph that you can go from the prison in one day to the palace same day. Ask Ruth. Ask Daniel. I mean, when God's timing happens, things happen. And don't feel like just because you're not seeing the door crack yet, you're not seeing the door even appear yet, that God's forgotten you. Because God will accelerate you when the favor of God's upon you. And when you seek after his presence more than promotion. When you seek after his presence more than titles. When you seek after his presence more than position. When you seek after his presence more than raises. When you seek after his presence more than popularity. When you seek him, the favor of God will follow you. And God's timing is everything. That's not our timing. I've seen so many people I know that have tried to knock open the door and tried to, and God told me this, and this is a promise God's given me, and they tried to accelerate that in their life, and they experienced maybe quick seasons of seeing that, but it doesn't sustain because they forced it before it was the right timing. They forced it when it was premature. God's told me to do this, so I'm going to do it right away, and they feel like I got to make it happen no matter what. Instead of letting God's timing take place in their life. See, David understood this. And we see the benefit of it here as we see in 1 Samuel 21, verses 2 through 4, verse 6, and verses 8 and 9 of the story. Now, David's running for his life, you know. He's out there running for his life. King Saul's wanting to kill him. And so he goes to the priest. Remember, he went into the priest. Hey, the king has sent me on a private matter, David said. He told me not to tell anyone why I'm here. Yeah, because he didn't want the king to find out. He's there. That's why. Because I have told my men where to meet me later. Now, what is there to eat? Give me 5 loaves of bread or anything else you may have. And the priest answered, we don't have any regular bread, but there is the holy bread. Since there was no other food available, the priest gave him the holy bread. What is the holy bread? Right here. The bread of the presence is what it was called. The bread of presence that was placed before the Lord in the tabernacle. He had just been replaced that day with fresh bread. Now you see something happening here. I want you to get the symbolic here. Fresh bread had been placed out that day. David walks in and receives the fresh bread. Now this is more than just him getting filled up with hunger. I want you to see the symbolic what God's doing in David's life. David is following God's timing. He shows up thinking he's just going to get something to eat, but God's giving him something even more. He received the fresh presence of the Lord in his life. He received that fresh presence, the fresh bread. It's symbolic of the fresh presence. And David asked, well, do you have a spear or a sword? And the king's business was so urgent that I didn't even have time to grab a weapon. And the priest replied, hey, I only have the sword of the Philistine, the Goliath, whom you killed in the Valley of Elah. The priest replied, it is wrapped in the cloth behind the ephod. And take that if you want it, for there is nothing else here. There is nothing like it, David replied. Give it to me. See, I want you to see something. When God's timing comes to fruition in your life, when God's timing happens, you'll receive a fresh dose of his presence. And he'll take the very thing that the enemy tried to destroy your life with, and he'll give it back to you as a weapon in your life. I mean, he got the weapon of Goliath, the very thing that Satan thought he was going to use to take David out from his progression to the throne. God gives it back now to him as a weapon. He's receiving the fresh presence of God. He's receiving the armor of God. And he's going out now fighting with strength. Why? Because he's waiting on God's timing. See, God's timing is not our timing. And the last thing we see here, I want you to get in David's life. David understood something. David understood promotion is the Lord's. David understood promotion is the Lord's. King Saul has been chasing David, trying to kill him. King Saul has been chasing him now for a long time, trying to kill David. David's got about 300 men with him. King Saul's got 3,000 to 5,000 men with him, okay? So they're chasing these guys throughout. But David is so wise because he's going with the favor of the Lord that God always just gives him favor, allows him to have strategic planning and how to avoid being captured, how to avoid being killed. And the favor of God just goes with him all along this process. Now, see this last thing here. I want you to see it. See, David understood promotion was the Lord's, not his. In 1 Samuel 24, verses 2 through 5. So David now, he's hiding in the cave. Remember this, okay? His 300 men are hiding in the cave. And so Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all of Israel, went on search for David. And his men were near the rocks of the wild goats, at the place where the road passes some sheepfolds. Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. Saul went in to take care of his business, people. That's what's happening, okay? Can't make this stuff up. It's right here in Scripture. He goes in, but as it happened, David and his men were hiding further back in the very cave. Now, this is what his men say to him. Hey, David, now is your opportunity. David's men begin to whisper to him, today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power, and you will do with as you wish. So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But when David's conscience began to bother him because he had cut off Saul's robe, he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do anything, that I should do this to my Lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. Now, David had every opportunity and every reason and every excuse. He could have killed King Saul right there, knowing that King Saul was out to kill him, hunting for him to kill him. He could have taken advantage of that right then. His guys were telling him, his own men were saying, this is it. This is the right timing. You're going to kill King Saul, and then you're going to be elevated to the king. You'll be promoted to the king. But David realized it was a trap, a spiritual trap for him. Because David knew, if I kill King Saul, I may become king for a short time, but it won't sustain. Somebody will come after me and try to kill me because I killed the king. But if I wait and honor him as the king, I'll let God take care of King Saul. And when God wants me to be promoted, he'll promote me, and it will last and it will stick because I let God do the promoting, not myself. You see, David understood something about God's nature. The battle belongs to God. The timing belongs to God. And God's the one that promotes. I don't have to promote myself. And when you understand the nature of God to that extent, when you embrace the nature of God, you got this. God, you got the battle. God, this belongs to you. God, the timing may not look like my timetable. Your timeline does not look like my timeline. But God, I'm going to trust you anyway. That God, your timetable will come to pass as you want it. And then I realized, God, you'll be the one who promotes, not me trying to promote myself. I'm just going to walk in your presence. I'm going to walk in your favor and let you handle it. See, a person who's walking that way, they can walk in the happiness of God. You can walk with a smile on your face no matter where you're at in the timetable. Because you realize that timing is God's, not mine. I got passed over for that promotion. I really wanted it. That's okay. God's got a different promotion for me. I'm just going to wait. All I'm going to do is walk with the favor. I'm going to stay in his presence. I'm going to bring his presence with me. I'm going to say, God, let your favor go before me. And God, when you're ready to promote me, it will happen in that season. Don't get mad because you didn't go where you wanted to go. You didn't get hired where you wanted to get hired. Don't get mad. Say, God, you got this. God, the battle's the Lord's. His timing is not my timing. He's the one in charge of promotion. How many today, as our musicians come, say, Pastor, you're speaking right to me today. I need to hear this today in my life. Anybody here? Okay, lots of people. Lots of people. See, the more we understand God's nature, the more I understand how God works, the more I can embrace it, the more I can walk in his presence, the more I can walk in his favor, the more I can walk at peace in my life, in happiness in my life, because God's timing is not my timing. He's got this. My job is just to walk in his presence, to grow in him, and let the favor of the Lord shine upon me wherever I go. When I go do a job, I want the favor of God to be on that job. People see me and say, man, favor of God's upon that person. When I walk in that school, people should look at you, man, the favor of God's upon that student. When you walk where you're going, people should say, man, the favor of God's upon you. Why? Because you're following after God's presence. You're seeking his ways and letting him direct you. The battle belongs to him. Timeline belongs to him. Promotion belongs to him. David understood that. And the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. As we close out this series, I'm going to invite you today as we end this service. If you would like to step out of your seat and join us around the front, say, Pastor, man, I'm ready. I'm ready today to embrace God's nature. I want to stop condemning myself. I want to stop letting my own mistakes keep me back. And today, I just want to walk as a child of God, realizing, God, you really love me. God, your presence is really going with me if I'll just walk with it every day. Step into the front, guys. Make room for those coming behind you there. We're saying, God, I want to step into a new season of happiness, new season of embracing your nature, the joy of the Lord's filling you. Step in the back, guys. Make room for those coming in. Thank you. We spread out here. We're going to close this song. I want you to make it personal to God. Say, God, the chains of my past are falling. I'm free in you. I'm free now. I'm a free person today. There's no condemnation. As sins of the past that have been plaguing my mind and my mistakes, I'm letting those things go. I'm going to walk in God's love, his goodness, his mercy. I'm going to walk in his favor. Come on, let's sing today.
There is power in the name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on, sing it out, church.
Come on, let's give him a shout in this place. Come on, church, lift it up.
Yeah, raise your hands. I want to pray for you one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you restore joy to people's lives. And what the enemy's trying to take, Father, you are restoring back. You're restoring back, not once, not twice, but tenfold back into people's lives. And I pray right now that, Father, you are allowing the power of healing, restoration, fresh hope is coming, and it's here. Fresh peace and joy is coming, and it's here. And Father, I just pray right now, God, there's a new joy. There's a new peace flooding the hearts of your people today. And God, we say yes. We say yes to your nature. God, we embrace that we are children of the King. And the battle belongs to you. That your timing is better than our timing. We admit that, God, you're the one who promotes. And we submit to that, God, whatever it looks like in our life. And God, we're going to walk embracing you. We're going to walk in your presence because we know when we walk in the presence, that God, favor is going to follow us. So I declare right now, for those who say in their heart today, they're going to walk in the presence. I pray the favor of the Lord would follow them on their job tomorrow, in their school tomorrow, in their workplace tomorrow, God, that the favor of the Lord would follow them. And they will be set apart because, God, you are doing something in the heart of the believers here today. And we say amen. If you receive that, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Before you leave today, don't forget we're passing out sacks to you to bring back with some groceries for next week. Don't forget to sign up for the marriage retreat. Next Steps class tonight, 5 o'clock. We'd love to have you a part of that. God bless you. You guys have a great rest of your day.